Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Morning, guys.
Are you not entertained? Ooh. Is this not why you are here?
Yeah, if you turned off that game at halftime, that's a problem.
Yo, Kitch. I just wanted to do that off the top, Key. Yeah, Gladiator, favorite movie. Energy level. I mean, you saw it. 34-14. Assist, 21 rebounds. Damn near gave you a triple-double in the first half.
In the first quarter, he had 10 rebounds like halfway through the first quarter. It was ridiculous.
Wait, the whole time he's doing it, I know I'm watching the game, and I just imagine Key's eyes just rolling to the back of his head like, oh, God, this guy got another rebound. Just box him out. What are you doing?
What I text you guys at the end of the first quarter, though, they're lucky to be down 12. After a quarter, it's like they must be down 20 points. They're down 12. They never let it get out of control, the Lakers. Well, and if you're the Lakers this morning.
It was 25 at one point.
That's true. But if you're the Lakers this morning, you got to be feeling good because you were down one possession late in the fourth quarter on the road in a game where you looked lethargic and you were getting your brakes beat off early and you came all the way back on them. You got to be feeling good if you're LA right now.
I'm not going to let you steal the headline. I'm not going to let you make it about the Lakers right now. It's about Denver. It's about Denver blitzing them in the first half, doing work. Welcome to the elevation. Welcome to how hard that is, right? And look, they pushed the pace of the game last night. Give the Lakers credit for coming back at the end of the game. You can't get yourself down a hole where you're down 20-plus points in the first half. There were a series of adjustments made in the second half by Darvin Ham. And here's my biggest takeaway. Don't let the box score fool you, Key, right? Like, AD had 40 and 10, and I understand how if somebody didn't watch the game, they can look at the box score like, oh, AD had 40 and 10. He didn't have a great game last night. Jokic was the best player on the floor by a mile. And when AD did choose to guard him one-on-one, I think Jokic exploited that matchup. They brought double teams in. I don't understand why they would bring double teams in as AD as the primary defender. Down towards the end of the game, they had Rui Hachimura on him, and I thought that was a better matchup because you could bring AD off the ball as a double teamer. But, man, the performance by Jokic last night was just special. It was special. He was the best. He's proving to be the best player in basketball.
After one game,
he's still trying to win the crown. I'm not going to give that to him
because
it's still Steph's until Jokic takes it from the mantle. But it's moving towards that direction.
It certainly is, Jay. Having to you know, really isolate my eyeballs on him, and the reason I was forced to because they were playing the Lakers. It wasn't a drive-by. You know, typically when the Denver Nuggets are playing, it's a drive-by for me because I'm just not, you know.
Yeah, you sound sad.
They're playing somebody else. No, I'm not sad. I'm listening to you as a very astute basketball member. I mean, what you going to say? They had no answers for him, right? They tried to double him. He passed it out. They knocked down the shots. Then when they single up on him, he spin out. He two-hand dunk off the two-legged vert.
I mean, was it really a vert, though?
It wasn't really a vert, but you know what I'm saying.
He got it over that rim really quick.
It was a hari.
He's
horizontal.
He's long. He's efficient. I mean, he's really good. That's all I can tell you. I can't. What else am I gonna say? It was good to watch and see. It was good to watch and see, to diagnose. And early in the game, about the first 6 minutes of the game, Jay, I said that they're better. Last night, they were a better basketball team all the way around than the Lakers. Lakers had a good spurt, right? They had a good fourth quarter. 7 minute jolt. But for the most part, they're a better team because they're deeper in the front line, meaning Garden and Porter and those dudes, even to the point where Green, KCP knocking down. I said, man, why you want to knock down shots like that for us with the Lakers? Right, Jay? He just knocking them down like he had shoot around or something. But that's basically what you got, Mr. Williams.
But look, Jokic was the star of the show. And in the first half, he even ended the game. All-time great performance. And you're right, Jay, to me the title's still vacant. Maybe Steph has it, maybe this one has it, that one. But Jokic could emerge from these playoffs as the best player in the game, period. I'm just saying, he had an all-time great performance. Almost everyone in the supporting cast had great games in Denver, for Denver. They're at home where, as the number one seed at home, you're supposed to defend home court, right? And even though they were up, you're right, at one point 25, forgot in the third quarter, it swelled to 25 points. The Lakers made it a one-possession game late, and they didn't play particularly well. But they didn't. You're right. AD was, defensively, he was good all game. I mean, one-on-one, you can't do anything with Jokic. But once they took him off Jokic, as you said, he dissuaded, he altered the defense, the offense of the Nuggets because he's roaming and people are aware of it. But, I mean, look at what the Lakers just did. D'Angelo Russell did virtually nothing. Obviously, like LeBron had a chance to tie it late with a three.
I thought
you got to be encouraged.
I thought it was a bad shot, but that's all right. Like, look, this series is going to be a series, man. Ain't nobody just going to blitz people off the court.
We can't get a ball LeBron no more, man.
No, that's – but, like, there were so many adjustments. First off, I don't know why – like, the adjustments, you're going to have to play bigger. Because that little three-guard lineup was getting beat up.
Yes. We don't have nobody to play big with, though.
Well, and also, Key, like, you need to give Jokic different looks. So
different looks, like I said yesterday.
Yeah, when you give – and we talked about, like, you're going to see LeBron have to guard Jokic for stints in a game. Not saying it's going to be consistent, but stints. You're going to see Rui on Jokic in stints. You're going to see AD. I think it's better for Darvin Ham if you're going to double with Rui as your primary defender, have AD play as a free safety, have him come from the weak side. That's better suited for Anthony Davis, right?
He changes the other team's offense when he can play that way.
Yes. Yeah. Also, you know, in the first half, Key, y'all were going under ball screens, which, you know, you saw guys like Schroeder and Austin Reeves really struggle when Jamal Murray was coming off those DHOs, dribble handoffs. And it's hard to get around that mountain masquerading as a man. Right? Like, it's hard to get around that. So, like, fighting over the top and playing off, forcing those guys, there's different strategies that need to be in place that they started doing a better job in the second half. And the last thing, Key, I will say, like, the elevation, like, their wind, man, like, transition defense, there were so many times where AD got beat down the court in the first half, and they pushed the tempo of the game. This is something that is really real. Like, my first couple of games in Denver, man, the first 6 or 7 minutes, and they always say, yo, get to your second win. You saw when the Lakers settled into the game in the second half, they start playing with more of a controlled pace, and that's something you don't have to
play basketball to feel that way in Denver, right? If you go there, if you're at elevation already, you can feel a little different, let alone if you're playing basketball. But what is it? They got adjusted to it? Because you're right, they got caught flat-footed early, but then they seemed to pick it up as the game went on. You would think it would be the reverse.
I don't need Jake breathing on me like that.
Because you're running up and down you're running up and down the court against a deep team that can make you move, and you want to push it anyway, and you get worn down. But it seemed to be the opposite. Like, they got rejuvenated as the game went on, the Lakers.
Because you catch your second wind. Always in sports, the quicker you can get to, you know, we talk about this, the quicker you get to that second wind. I don't know how it was when you guys played up in Denver.
Yeah, it's like,
the quicker we got to our second wind, the better we settled into the game. That's why they had 17-6 transition.
Does that carry over into game two at all? Do they acclimate, and so they can start, the Lakers could start faster in game two?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't – playing in Denver, I played there 3 times, Jay, in my career. And be honest with you, I was young, and so I was just going out there on the field. I had no idea what the altitude – I had no idea, zero.
Yeah.
If it affected me at all whatsoever. Well,
we did USA basketball in Denver, so we would do training up there all the time. And it would you know, you do like the oxygen mask and the all that stuff to kind of measure your oxygen, your
lungs. And the Lakers got there a day earlier than what they normally would, Jay. They went in on Sunday instead of on a Monday, you know. Yeah. So they tried to get an extra day. And like you said, the second half, you get your legs underneath you. You understand. In the first half, I think they had put their toe in the water to gauge the temperature of the environment and what they was getting ready to get themselves into. And you say, well, how could that be? Well, it's a new group of individuals they playing against. They're in Denver. Yeah, they played in Denver before. They haven't played in Denver in quite some time. So now you look at it and you say to yourself, okay, let's get a feel for the game. And by the time they got a feel for it, like you said earlier, Jay, you down by 25, That's too much of a deficit, really, to close that gap.
Exactly.
Apparently not, though. They did.
Well, they didn't.
Can I just say one thing about the Joker?
One possession.
You lost. You can mark this down, and you can fight me back in 5 years if you think I'm wrong. That's the best one-man offense in the game of basketball today.
Joker.
I'm glad you're short of saying all time.
Well, no, I didn't say all time because I still think LeBron in his prime was incredible. But at the center position,
it's absurd.
With the way he plays, it's the best one-man offense in the game of basketball.
You see him just push the ball. It's just
You know, Wilbon compared him, I think it was at halftime. Or, I don't think it was. I think it was at halftime. He compared him to there's an element of his game that's like Bill Walton. When I remember having Bob Ryan on Around the Horn, you know, 20-something years ago already, and he said with one game to win, fate of the universe on the line, he wants Bill Walton in his prime. I'm like, come on, MJ, this one, that one. But what the old-timers would tell you is the way Bill Walton could control the offense with his passing from the post was, you know, made him a point center from the paint, right? But Jokic has that, plus mobility, handles. He can shoot the three. It's ridiculous. It's like what all the old-timers would say was the best element about some player all rolled up into one.
Would you rather have Jokic or would you rather have Embiid? We'll talk about that later. It's just something to make you think.
So was that the Lakers' ceiling? Like, I'm being optimistic. I'm saying, damn, they could have won that game, and they should have been blown out. They were getting blown out. Am I being too optimistic, or was that, in fact, the Lakers' ceiling? And also, is there concern for all the minutes that Jokic is playing? 888-SAY-ESPN.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. I have an analogy for you guys on this series, Nuggets-Lakers. No one's going to see it this way because Jokic is considered a center, right? And LeBron is old and hurt right now. But this is a matchup of the two highest, to me, IQ guys, passing IQ, see the floor, make all your teammates better. When you say a one-man offense, like who's the greatest one-man offense, you think it's LeBron all time, but it's Jokic right now. In a way, it's a version of, and no one's going to see it this way, it's not branded that way, of Bird and Magic, where you got the guy who can shoot from the outside and can see the floor and can build, and can set up your offense if you need him to, but is not the fastest guy in the world, right? But super high IQ against the other super high IQ guy who can do all that stuff plus lead you on the fast break, doesn't shoot it as well, but he's old. But it's a version of that. It's a meeting of the two fastest thinking, see the floor best guys to me. All right, what do you say to that one, Jay?
I agree. It's just the fact that Joker is 6'11", 280 pounds.
80.
Is that all he is, a 6'11", Jay?
Yeah, 6'11", 280.
No, I thought he was taller than that.
But it's when you watch him in AD, you're like, all right, AD is a tad bit taller. But the Joker is not the fastest individual, but it's nonstop movement, right? Like, and these are the type of things that it makes you look at the lack of movement by other people, and it's just like he outworks you. And that's the thing that makes him special. And that's his IQ is what makes all of his teammates love him. There were multiple times in the first quarter where, yeah, he got 10 rebounds. He had chippies at the rim, but he's giving it to teammates. Yeah, get involved. Get involved. Get your shot going, because he knows at the end of the day that his team is better when his other players are engaged, and then he can play off of them.
Yeah, there were a couple weird ones where it's like, come on, man, that's a lower percentage shot. Yeah, just take that shot. What are you doing? Was that the Lakers' ceiling?
Not what do you think? Not D-Lo's ceiling.
Was that the Lakers' ceiling, Key, or can they play better than that?
No, it's not the ceiling. They can play better than that. They got to start off faster, much faster. They can't allow themselves to get down 20-plus points and then try to make a close in the end. But they can play better, and they will play better. This is only the first game. If you start talking to me and when they're down 0-3, then that's a different conversation. But down 0-1 on the road, you know, that's just what it is. If you could steal one in the first game, you steal one. That's just the way it is. They come back home where they're undefeated this playoff cycle and see where it's at. If they can't steal the next game on Thursday night.
Yeah, I think the Lakers are fine, man.
Like, me look, too.
Like the wind, like they got the wind knocked out of their sail, Key, in the first half. They got in huge deficit. You saw adjustments made in the second half. You saw a team that settled in, didn't give up fast break points. Like I said earlier, it was like 17-6 fast break points in the first half. They played with a sense of urgency. They actually matched the effort of Denver in the second half. You actually can make the case that probably about out of all the playoff games, that was the worst defensive effort you saw from the Lakers in the first half. The worst.
Yeah, right.
And they bounced back in the second
half.
Their
transition defense was awful. They looked sluggish. They looked like the altitude was affecting them. They looked flat-footed, unprepared. That's what I'm saying. I'm a Lakers fan.
I wouldn't say unprepared.
As a Lakers fan, I'm encouraged this morning.
They didn't match the effort. I mean unprepared
for the moment. I don't mean they didn't know what they're doing. I mean, you got to be on your toe. You got to be – they just look flat-footed to me. They look like they got caught flat-footed early. But that's what – it's like in boxing – you'll see it a lot of times. One guy tests another guy to see if he's real, right? And in the middle rounds, if he's beating him up, a lot of times the other guy gives in. There was no give in the Lakers. There was no give. They could have won. One possession. The fact that LeBron James, I don't care if it's a bad shot, the fact that there was a chance to tie that game, what was it left? A minute and a half left in the game? Was ridiculous. Should have been a 40-point loss the way it was going, right?
But by the way, though, Max, like in a lot of NBA games, teams that are up 20-25, like the percentage chances are higher that the team losing comes back and wins those games. Like it's funny, it's almost like it's like a facade. You see games where a team's up 20, like I see it every night. Like
every night.
Oh, this team's up 25 in the first half, and I'm like, man, these guys about to lose by 10-15. Yeah. Tendency to take your foot off the gas, adjustments made at halftime. Like so, like don't let any of that stuff.
But you know, but
it's like 2-minute offense. At the end of a game, it's like 2-minute offense in basketball. When you have a bunt, you're up by a lot. Teams start to push the ball down the court, shooting threes, making their threes. Now all of a sudden those deficits are cut in half, and then they cut into a quarter. Then you look up and they go back and forward, Jay. It's just like 2-minute offense when you are down so much in football. Now all of a sudden you look up, boom, boom, they're throwing the ball everywhere. Now you're only down by a field goal.
But there's we've all experienced this watching the NBA through the years. Like, no lead feels safe, and leads can evaporate quickly. But I think that's partly confirmation bias, because when you look at the numbers, if you're down 5 with or more than 5 with fewer than 5 minutes left in the game, you're highly likely to lose the game. Think about that. It doesn't feel that way, right? It's like, no, that's anyone's game. If you're down 6 points with 4.5 minutes left, you're very likely to lose the game across the league, right? So when you're down 25 in the third quarter on the road against the best team in the league, a team that you and others have picked to win the whole thing, right? Against the best player in the game at the moment, who's having an all-time night, against a team where everyone's hitting shots and you look sluggish in the first half, to have a shot to win.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, if that's not the Lakers ceiling, and I don't think any of us think it is, do you have any concern for the number of minutes Jokic is playing, for the usage?
Zero. That's how Jokic has played the whole year. You know, that's the first question that I got asked when I came into the studio. Like, oh, well you know, if you look at it, Jokic played 42 minutes. I'm like, okay. But Jokic always plays minutes. Like, that's the reason why he's won MVP awards. Like, he got it for his durability. he got for the fact that he does play these type of minutes in games, and it doesn't bother him. I mean, he moves at his own pace, but his pace never stops moving. Like, think about that for a second. I'll say it again. He moves at his own pace, but his pace never stops moving. You can't say that about a lot of guys.
It's like smooth, kind of efficient.
There were multiple times where they were bringing the ball down the court in the first half, and you just saw it. I mean, granted, it's the altitude, but like AD had his hands on his knee. He was like,
You know, Jay, this is his court. This is his team, right? So they increased his minutes slightly in the postseason so far. Regular season, he was only averaging about 33, 34 minutes a game. And now they've increased it. So I'm not – look, for them, if that's what they feel he could continue to do it, then continue to do it. Play him every damn minute. I hope you play every minute.
Yeah, Key, you know, here's the analogy for me. And analytics are a useful tool, but you don't want to lose, like, just the eye test, right? So in baseball, Key, back in the day, remember this? Just because you were up at 105 pitches didn't mean you're taken out of the game. Manager's looking to seeing how's the ball coming out of his hand. Is it effortless, or is he starting to – is it taxing? And Jokic looks good. It still looks good even when he plays a lot of minutes.
Well, I don't understand why. But you guys are saying, are you concerned with Jokic playing 42 minutes? LeBron James, 38, he played 40 minutes
on a bad wheel.
AD played 42 minutes. So like, yo,
yeah, but AD, but the thing,
but also, Keith, you guys have been through the gauntlet, so you're looking at, you know, Denver has won their games, Jokic is a little bit fresher.
Yeah, so, but as it goes, though, it's good in game one. What about game three and game five? That's when you may see some fatigue set in. His minutes, regular season, he only played about 33 and a half minutes, Jay, on average.
Okay.
So you increase
because they were
in
up
that,
big in a lot of games.
Regular season, LeBron James only played 35 minutes.
But you're increasing that, and LeBron looked like he is in more shape.
No, see, this is where you're wrong. This is where I'm going to debunk it.
Like.
I know I'm going to debunk it for everybody. Because there are times I see, don't get confused with minutes. Like, AD jogs down the court. So, he's logging more minutes, but some of those minutes he's jogging down the court. That could be to a deficit for your team.
He's relaxing eight of those minutes.
So, like, it's like it all depends on how you look at the details of the minutes now.
Right. Give him some half minutes for that. Is it okay? Adam Silver reacted to the Ja Morant video, and people want to talk Nuggets Lakers 888-SAY-ESPN. And the rights to Wembanyama, the generational prospect in the draft lottery, went too. We're going to get into it all coming up.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
KJM, we're presented by Progressive Insurance here on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80. So you heard Adam Silver reacting to the Ja Morant video, but let's listen to it again. Here is the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver, on NBA Countdown yesterday.
We talked directly about the consequences first before we got to a subsequent potential to have done something wrong. We were very focused on the misconduct that was in front of us at the time. We spoke for a long time about not just the consequences that could have on his career, but the safety issues around it. Could have injured, maimed, killed himself, someone else with an act like that. And also the acknowledgement that, as you said, he's a star. I mean, he has an incredibly huge following.
Yeah.
And that my concern, and I thought he shared with me, that millions, if not tens of millions of kids globally would see him as having done something that was celebrating in a way. I at least was left with the sense that he was taking this incredibly seriously. So honestly, I was shocked when I saw this weekend that video. Now, we're in the process of investigating it. And we'll figure out exactly what happened to the best we can then. It's, again, it's the video's a bit grainy and all that, but I'm assuming the worst, you know. But we'll figure out, you know, exactly what happened there.
In the wake of Adam Silver's interview with ESPN, Ja Morant released a statement through his representatives. This is his first public comment since the video was posted over the weekend. Quote, "I know I've disappointed a lot of people who have supported me. This is a journey, and I recognize there is more work to do. My words may not mean much right now, but I take full accountability for my actions. I'm committed to continuing to work on myself."
So those words fall on deaf ears for me. And as much as I appreciate Ja and his team making a statement, I hear you, but I don't see you. I'd rather see your actions than hear your words at this point. And I firmly believe, Key, that a guy like Ja needs a life coach, a third party that can rock with him, that can be there with him wherever he goes, just for an extended period of time to help him process decisions in his life. I would actually recommend that for a lot of draftees. You know, you're making millions of dollars. I wish I had had something like that, a third party that can help me process and deal with things, and somebody I can consult with when times got rough and dealing with fame and making money and not feeling that I could live a normal life. I also would like to address something that Adam Silver said, because I think it's a private institution and the NBA has the right to do whatever they want to do as it relates to suspension. And I think it would probably deem around maybe 25, 35 games for Ja. Kids seeing kids with guns and being a role model, I think, is such a bigger point. And I understand that Adam is thinking through the prism of the NBA and young players being role models and examples. But I don't want to lose sight, Key, that as it relates to examples, we have a lot of other different examples in this country. And I also don't want all the attention to be on this young black man that all of a sudden he has to be better for everybody all the time, when we have other examples of individuals, politicians, and other people that are doing the same thing. You know, if you talk about whether that's pictures on Christmas cards, things of that sort, you know, pumping out different notions around how they feel about gun responsibility. So I just wanted to state that, Key, because I don't want all the weight to fall on this young man's shoulder and all of a sudden he's being the pinpoint example of issues with it, when there's a lot of bigger issues we have with it. I just wanted to state that.
Go ahead, Key. I want to respond to that, but go ahead, Key. I'll do it after you, Key.
The statement doesn't fall on deaf ears for me. I'm fine with it. They have to respond to something. They have to respond. He can't sit and be idle and on mute. The one thing that I take from the statement is he says that he's continuing to work on himself, and he's committed to doing that. This is not an overnight fix. So I do appreciate him, as of now, recognizing that he needs to continue. Whatever it is, the commitment, whatever help you say, Jay, he needs, okay, whether he's a life coach, whatever the case, it's a commitment to continue to work on that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that behavior is, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's something that is, I don't want to say bothering him, but there's something that he is seeking, whatever that is. If he continues to work on getting better to fix whatever problems that there is, then yeah, you look to it and you go, okay, show me. He hasn't shown us yet, but this is still new. And it doesn't mean that it's not a process. People that have certain issues in life, they have to work on them to get better at them. It just doesn't happen overnight. So I'm okay with him taking full accountability and saying that he needs to commit to continue to commit to doing the right things. I'm okay with that 100%.
He's got
to
say something.
That is the way. But it's not about saying something, Max. It's about whether or not he is truly invested.
Yeah, but that commitment that
he's talking about.
But to Jay's point, time will tell. It always does, right? And that's why Ja has to say, you know, essentially address that you may not believe me right now because I just said this and I'm a work in progress, and now we have to see the behavior follow through. I want to address what you said about the climate in which we live, Jay, and how it shouldn't be, you know, people say, oh, you should be suspended for a season, let's say, unfortunately, it's getting incredibly easy to acquire firearms legally in many states in this country. And there are politicians who, after massacres in schools, which also amazingly, the laws haven't changed to require greater responsibility. In fact, they changed in the opposite direction. And right afterward, you know, politicians pose with firearms constantly. You're right. So it would seem out of proportion to say, wait, he showed a firearm and now he's gone for a season, right? On the other hand, and if you saw, let's say, a player with a gun, but they were hunting or something like that, that would be fine, right? So it depends on the context as well. And how does race play into all of that? I think those are all valid questions. But what I like about the NBA is just because the values across much of this country have become so debased because those politicians answer to the NRA, right? Mm-hmm. Adam Silver is saying, that's not us. We're the NBA, and we have civilized standards here. And we want the participants in our game to live up to a civilized standard. And to Ja's credit, he is not running around right now saying, well, what about this? You know, what aboutism, that and that and that. He's saying, I take responsibility, and you might not believe me right now because I just did and it seemed like nothing changed. And I, you know, essentially he hopes that his behavior will prove itself over time. And that's, I think, what you're pointing to and Key, what you're hoping for. And so am I, right? But there will be a hefty punishment here. There's no doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
And good for the NBA.
Well, if it is a hefty punishment, it is well deserved. This is his second offense carrying a gun. I don't care if he was in the car with his friend. I don't care if he was walking. I don't care if he was hunting. He can have a gun. Yes, we all understand that. It says, yes, to Tennessee, you can carry without a light, all that. I get it. But you already got in trouble for dealing with a gun. Okay, they already done told you, the NBA, they don't want you dealing with guns.
And then
that's
you do
the
it
problem
again.
For
right.
me. Mm-hmm. Then
right.
you
it's,
do it again.
It's yep. reflective, even if the issue wasn't firearms, if it was something else, it's reflective of impaired judgment, of out of control behavior, 100%. Right? Of immaturity.
If they told him don't walk down the street with a brush in your hand,
and you did it,
That's like, come on, man.
That's the bigger
issue. The man
issue
that already
you.
Told you don't do it.
All right. The 76ers, meantime, have moved on from Doc Rivers. Is this Embiid's team in Philadelphia or Harden's? Is Harden staying? Is D'Antoni in next? What does this all mean, KJM?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
You know, we talk about on this show, and Key will bring up new GM or a head of football operations comes in. If the coach wasn't hired by him, it's probably a matter of time, right? That coach better be winning a lot. Daryl Morey came in. You know who Daryl Morey's peoples are. Daryl Morey, you associate a head coach and a primary ball handler with Daryl Morey. The primary ball handler is James Harden. The head coach is Mike D'Antoni. Like, that's who you associate in your mind with Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey came in after Doc Rivers was already there. Now Daryl Morey's here. First thing he does, he goes against James Harden. And now, unless they win a championship, Key, you see this in football, right? Oh, you came up short compared to expectations. Now he's going to go get his guy. But if he does go and get D'Antoni, is that an indication that this is James Harden's team and not Joel Embiid's team, or it's being treated that way?
Yeah, they should have just kept Doc if they're going to do that. I wouldn't even – why are you going to microwave D'Antoni back? I understand the connection. I understand the relationship. But I'm also thinking about the future of my big and Joel Embiid. What is he going to be, Jay?
I'm saying D'Antoni, just to be clear, Key. I'm speculating D'Antoni.
I understand that. Nobody's been hired yet, so I get it. Jay, what will Embiid be? What type of player would he be in a D'Antoni system? It seems like a guard-friendly system to me. It doesn't seem like a big for a big, right? It just seems like it's all about the guards and the shooting and not the bot, not getting guys down low in the box and using their ability, something that the Sixers didn't do and Doc Rivers didn't do with Joel Embiid against the Celtics. So why would you go get that guy, basically the same duplicate of what we just saw in the series with the Celtics?
Because the love affair and that love triangle was real between James Harden, Mike D'Antoni, and also Daryl Morey. It's been real since they've been in Houston together. I mean, think about
– how is that helping the big?
Well, I don't think decisions are made around – like, look, if you paid attention to Game 6 and Game 7, I can't tell you how many texts I got from Yates, from my boys, who are all watching the game. If he don't get his ass down on the block, like, from so many people, like, yo, you have a major advantage. Yeah, we saw Jokic bully AD last night. That's who Joel Embiid should be, instead of floating on the perimeter. And a lot of people were saying, well, Doc, it's his job to get him. So now you're telling me if you bring in Mike D'Antoni, you think you're going to see a steady diet of Joel Embiid on the block? No, you're going to see him on the perimeter a lot more involved in a lot of that action that is involved and built around James Harden. That's what Mike D'Antoni has been known to do.
The last true center. Like center, the way you think of them. And I think of Embiid as that, although it's center plus, right? To win a championship was probably Shaq. And what you see Jokic doing right now, like Giannis is not exactly a center. And what Jokic is doing is combining so many really point guard skills with the center position. It's a little bit different. But if you can't do it with Embiid so far, you can't even make a conference finals in spite of being on with coaches who've had success and talented teammates in usually what's perceived until recently as the weaker conference. Maybe it's just that the modern game does not lend itself to that kind of player being the best player or the focal point of a championship team. I'm not saying for sure. I'm saying maybe. And the thing about D'Antoni, provided you have a defensive coordinator with him, is that he gets teams farther than they ought to get, right? Especially if he has James Harden. Like, you think of Harden in Brooklyn looking a hot mess, rolling out of bed, out of shape, 30-point triple-doubles with D'Antoni there on the bench, right? When D'Antoni wasn't there, it looked very different. So I don't know how he'd use Embiid exactly, but I imagine the effect.
Fair assessment.
I imagine the effect would be good on the team, and but the question in the end, Jay, will still come down to, will Harden or maybe a developing Maxey, if Maxey ascends and takes the next step, will they be able to make the plays in the moment of truth, right? Like, that's still what it's going to come down to.
Hey, Jay, I'm cool on the air raid for basketball. I'm good on that with D'Antoni. A whole bunch of points, and I'm good on that.
A lot, you know, look, I have a lot of questions about it as it relates to this team that looks rudderless sometimes, as it relates to a leader. But I will say this, to Max's credit, like, we don't know everything all the time. And D'Antoni can open up a chess box sometimes, and if he is the person to activate James Harden, there is a part of me that wonders, because we talked about why doesn't Joel Embiid get used more like Jokic. Maybe there's a part of Embiid's game that we haven't fully seen crystallize yet because of us always trying to get him on the block. So, like, there is a devil's advocate in what I said originally. Like, there is a sweet spot. And
what's about using him right? It's not getting him on the block all the time. It's about using him right.
Well, that's the thing. So I was laughing because, like, last night the Spurs got the number one pick, right? So they got Victor Wembanyama. And I'm sitting there saying, damn, Brett Brown, who is an assistant on Greg Popovich's staff, just got Victor Wembanyama. And Brett Brown got the 76ers to the Eastern Conference semifinals twice. Doc Rivers got the Sixers to the Eastern Conference semifinals three times. And now I'm over here saying, well, D'Antoni has been to the conference finals. He's done more than both Brett Brown and what we've seen the last situation happen.
Could easily have two chips, by the way, because that incident with the Spurs, he could have chipped up. You don't know, but maybe. And then also, if they don't miss every shot from three, basically, against the KD Warriors, the Rockets probably win that game at home and then probably beat the team out of the East. The point is this for me. Whoever it is, because I'm speculating D'Antoni, but even if it's someone else, in the end, you're going to need a closer. You're going to need a guy, and Harden does not appear throughout his career to be that guy, and it's hard for a big to be that guy. So the question for me with the Sixers still is, can Tyrese Maxey eventually become that guy, whoever coaches the team?
I agree, but I think if you're going to make the hire on Mike D'Antoni, you need to add, I'll give you football terminology, the right defensive coordinator.
Yes, 100%.
Like, because that, you saw that when they were in Brooklyn, when he had the right defensive people combined 100%. With the offensive philosophy, it meshed incredibly well.
D'Antoni don't care about defense. If you get him a good D coordinator to sit on the bench, you're good.
I can't do it, though. Y'all keep talking about.
Who else are you going to hire? Who else do you want?
Man, it's 12 coaches out there, man. We gotta look at all of them.
Give Casella a shot.
We should go through them.
How confident should the Lakers feel after losing game one? KJM ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.